This is a Roundtable Rewind.
A lot to get to in this first segment, and obviously we'll talk about these things throughout the show. But you got some, I think, exciting news for you yesterday. We'll get to that, but exciting news for Alabama and Auburn basketball, because this will only help in recruiting for both of these schools. And as we covered yesterday, it's the first time this has ever happened in Alabama and Auburn basketball history. Two players to the NBA in the lottery section of the draft. Isaac Okoro, 5th to Cleveland. Kyra Lewis, 13th to New Orleans in the NBA draft last night. Let's start with what this means for these two players. You watch a lot of NBA, Lance. So let's start with Isaac Okoro of Auburn. 5th to Cleveland, how does he fit in with the Cavaliers right now?
Well, you know, the Cavaliers, not a good team last year by any means.
That's how you end up picking 5th, well, right?
That is one of the reasons right. that you do pick 5th. But we're talking about a Cavaliers team that arguably was the worst in basketball last year. You know, it's hard to get a gauge. A lot of people would say it was the Golden State Warriors who completely tapped out. But when you look in the Eastern Conference, Cleveland only had 19 wins. And when you start to look at this roster – you know, Colin Sexton, you know, Kevin Love is a guy that is still there. Andre Drummond.
Is Kevin Love, is he 60 yet, or is he about to turn 60?
You know, Kevin Love, I am going to guess, is only 31.
Boy, it seems like he's been playing forever, though.
He's 32 years old. I just checked.
Wow, you're incredible.
And by the way, Kevin Love, his dog.
Oh, it's that dog you got. What is it?
The one do I have?
No, the dog Lance has. It starts with a V.
Vashula Kanistin.
It's a Vishla.
Vishla.
Yeah. That's what I said. Yeah.
So him and his Sports Illustrated model love to post their Vishla.
I think I saw one of those in my neighborhood.
Vestry is its name, by the way.
What is?
Vestry.
Vestry
the Vishla.
I think I saw somebody walking one of those in my neighborhood. It looked a lot like your dog. Is it? Do they kind of have a tail about that long?
About that, he's showing a tail of about 2.5 feet. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not real bushy.
It's not docked. Yeah. It's a straight tail. Like, yep. And it's, they're kind of a copper color.
Yeah, I'm almost certain. I saw one of my neighbors walking one of those.
Great dogs.
Yeah.
Anyway, with all that said, Colin Sexton is the future of this Cavaliers team. Isaac Okoro at 6'6", is already, to me, going to be an elite defender in the first couple of years. You throw in a guy like Kevin Love, if he can stay healthy, control the anxiety problems. I mean, he's still, you know, one of the more unique bigs, a guy that can really stretch defenses. Andre Drummond, who only played 8 games last year, is a guy that, you know, can block shots, can rebound. And Darius Garland, you know, we haven't talked much about him. And this is a guy out of Vanderbilt who was the 5th overall pick in last year's draft. You know, he's still, one of these combo guards, mostly plays the one that really complements Colin Sexton. So there's a lot of young talent on Cleveland's team, but it's still a Cleveland team that's a long, long way away.
All right, so let's go to the Alabama player that was in the lottery portion of the draft to a little better franchise, Kyra Lewis, number 13 to New Orleans. New Orleans just traded away Drew Holiday, right?
They did.
And, I mean, that was an important piece for them. But if you're Kyra Lewis, even with that piece going, you're about to go play – in a franchise with Zion Williamson. I mean, that's got to be...
Well, not just Zion.
So,
you know, a lot of people forget. And a guy that I was so excited about coming out of Duke when he got drafted by the Lakers, Brandon Ingram. And one of your most improved players last year was Brandon Ingram, a guy that's 6'7", that's got so much energy, that can do so many different things. He's only 23 years old. And last year, Ingram, a lot of people just don't realize, he averaged 24 points per game. So when you get the combination of Zion, Brandon Ingram, you've got a local product and Eric Bledsoe there, Lonzo Ball, a former, you know, guy that went, what did Ball go overall to the Lakers back in the day?
You're a Lakers fan. I can't need to know these.
He went number 2, I think it was. But Lonzo Ball was supposed to be the next Magic Johnson. That hasn't panned out, but he's still a good player. You know, so you've got a lot of talent on this Pelicans team. And, you know, now you go out and you get a guy like Kyra Lewis, who really came on the second half of the season last year for Nate Oates. To me, much more excited if I'm Kyra Lewis and the New Orleans Pelicans about their future.
So this is, you know, when you start looking at how it impacts recruiting for these two programs. So this is 2 of the last 3 years, Alabama has had a player in the lottery because Colin Sexton obviously went 8th to the Cleveland Cavaliers, the aforementioned Cleveland Cavaliers. You just talked about him. Had it not been for a terrible injury, I think Chuma Okeke would have been a lottery player.
He would have been.
He was 16th, though, just outside the lottery. but still a good first-round pick to the Orlando Magic. And then you got two lottery players from both schools this year. That's got to help recruiting, right? I mean, I think we saw that as Nick Saban, I'll use him as an example, as he got started at Alabama, as he started pumping a ton of players into the NFL, it just continues to feed itself, right? Guys see, okay, I can go there, and I've got a great shot of getting to the league. And I would think basketball could sell the same thing.
Well, I think you can sell it. Hey, look, we've got lottery guys. But I take when you really sell it is when these guys come up in that second contract.
Oh, yeah.
And you start to roll it out. And was it not Nick Saban that had, like,
amount earned in the NFL or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, he had, like, literature of this is what our players have earned over the last 5-10 years, and you start to see those dollars, and that's what excites a lot of these players. Look, these guys want to win championships. They want to be high profile. They want to play on national television, which all of them are now. But ultimately, it's about making this money.
Yeah, Wimp was a guy that put a lot of guys in the NBA, so we'll talk to him about the recruiting impact of that coming up in just a little bit. But it's kind of a wrap on the NBA draft. You guys had asked us a lot, had this ever happened? We look back, it had not. Oddly, in the 80s, there were some guys from both schools that were, you know, lottery-type picks, but never in the same draft. So maybe that's a good sign for the basketball in this state moving forward.
Last night was a weird draft, though, and obviously because of the timing, but I don't know about you guys. You know, I was watching on the phone as we were at Odie's last night and just trying to keep up with it. But it's just so different now because not only the European invasion that we've had now for 15 years, but you just don't know a lot of these players. And especially last year when you had such an abbreviated season, you just don't get to see a lot of these players play. So, you know, they're not household names unless you are a die-hard college basketball fan and you're a guy that you know, follows a lot of the European guys.
Real quick then, since you brought that up, let me just do this. How many have you seen actually play a game?
Of the 30 that were drafted?
Yeah, the 30 that were drafted. I mean, what would you guess? You don't have to go count them.
Yeah, I'm just quick overview. I would say that I have seen of the 30.
Like the kid that went 7th from France, you've not seen him.
I've not seen Killian Hayes play. No.
Right, the kid from Israel that went 9th, you have not seen him.
I have not seen him play.
But, I mean, everybody.
And I heard some reports that he didn't send medicals out to certain teams because he didn't want to go to certain places.
The kid from Israel?
Kid from Israel.
Yeah.
He was very specific. I don't know why he wanted to end up in D.C.
Okay.
I guess immediate playing time. But, you know, I mean, you know, even James Wiseman. I mean, how much Wiseman did we get to say? He played 3 games last year.
Yeah,
look, and he looked dominant. And I really wonder, Penny Hardaway, how good that Memphis squad would have been if you had a legit 6'11 athletic big like James Wiseman. But, you know, I probably saw 15 to 20 of these guys play. Even Obi Toppin, who was your National Player of the Year out of Dayton last year, I saw him in 4 or 5 games maybe.
You know, one more before we go to break, one more observation about this. Obviously, losing the NCAA tournament hurt everyone. But when you see Florida State with 2 lottery players, losing the NCAA tournament hurt them a lot. I mean, look at how talented that roster was.
But I think it shows you Leonard Hamilton, still the one thing he's always been able to do is recruit.
Yeah, you can get players, can he?
Oh, and by the way, Vanderbilt has had lottery guys. I mentioned Garland. Now Nesmith goes 14th overall to Boston. They've had back-to-back years of lottery guys.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it? All right, so Lance, I don't know if you had interest in Georgia, Mississippi State. 6:30 SEC Network kick. I mean, Mississippi State has been non-competitive.
I'm forced to watch Georgia football every week, Brown.
So full disclosure, your girlfriend, the young lady you're dating, is a Georgia fan.
Yeah, she's a Georgia grad. So, you know, while I'm forced to watch it, she'll be, you know, perusing her phone and kind of looking up. I think I pay more attention to Georgia games than she does.
Do you ever just change it to see just how close she's paying attention?
Well, I'll ask score.
Yeah.
In the middle of some kind of Amazon order.
Right. So you don't have like a running rule that if you can't give me the score twice in a row, we're changing it or something like that?
Yeah. Well, typically I kind of want to watch Georgia football. I don't know. This offense is difficult to watch, but maybe not now, right?
Well, according to Matt Zenitz of AL.com, who covers the SEC, I know a lot of you would say, how is this story breaking at AL.com? It's a Georgia football story. Matt covers the entire Southeastern Conference. And Matt reports last night, according to sources, Georgia is expected to start JT Daniels at quarterback versus Mississippi State, a player Lance really liked, former 5-star from USC. Lance liked him as a Trojan, but he lost his job due to injury. Keaton Slovis has played better. JT Daniels now in Athens, and it looks like he's about to be the Georgia starter.
Well, you know, coming out of high school, I remember Tom Lugenbill, who will join us, I think, at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
You know, he was talking about JT Daniels, a guy that enrolled at USC early, and he said, watch out for this kid. You know, he is going to be special. And watching him in 2018, there were a lot of peaks and valleys. And, you know, overall, the numbers weren't great. He completed less than 60% of his passes, 14 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I thought he was okay. Last year in Graham Harrell's offense, I think he would have been really, really good. You saw what Slovis was able to do once JT Daniels goes down at the end of the first half against Fresno. He had already thrown for 215 yards in the first half. So I think his season last year would have been much like what we saw from Keaton Slovis if he would have stayed healthy. Now you go to Georgia. Georgia doesn't, and this sounds crazy, Brown, they don't have the offensive weapons that USC has. Not even close.
No, I would agree with you. That I mean, you say it sounds crazy because we view Georgia as a recruiting machine, right?
Yeah,
is that
I
why
mean,
you're saying that?
You view USC as a team that Clay Helton's going to have in the top 15 of recruiting rankings, but you know Kirby Smart's typically a top three guy. And you just don't have the receivers and even the running backs outside of Zamir White that you've got right now with USC. But I think JT Daniels is going to be a major upgrade over what we've seen. My only question would be, did he just get medically cleared this week?
Well, I mean, Kirby, if he comes in and slays it, you know these are the questions Kirby is going to have to ask, right?
Yeah, because I just don't understand how bad quarterback play has been this year for the Georgia Bulldogs. And for whatever reason, if JT Daniels was just standing on that sideline and wasn't playing because it was a coach's decision and Kirby was going with, you know, DeJuan Mathis and, you know, to start the season, and then what we see with Stetson Bennett, I mean, these just haven't been good quarterbacks. I mean, Stetson Bennett's completed 55% of his passes, 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. DeJuan Mathis, who started the season against Arkansas, has completed 40% of his passes. I don't even know how that's possible in today's college football.
I wish I could find, and I wish I had this, Stetson Bennett's first half numbers against Alabama. I mean, in the first half of that game, if you could think back, seems like 2 years ago, but in the first half of that Alabama-Georgia game, Stetson Bennett was okay, right? I mean, okay. Would you give me that?
I thought he might be better than okay.
Better than okay. Well, I'm just thinking about, you know, he threw the interception, right, early on. They get all the way down right at the end of the half, into the red zone. He misses, I think, 3 wide-open receivers for a touchdown. Finally gets the one on the fourth. But my point was going to be, since that game, Lance, because at halftime, that game flipped. Now, in the second half, Stetson Bennett was fill in the blank.
Well, I think he threw all three of his interceptions in the second half, threw both of his touchdowns in the first half.
I think that one interception didn't come – it came after Alabama had thrown an interception. He threw one right back, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Well, then one of the three.
Yeah. So in the second half, Stetson Bennett was not good.
But both of his touchdowns were definitely in the first half.
Yeah. So against Alabama, Lance, he ends up 18 of 40, 269, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. His games since then, 9 of 13 against Kentucky for 131 yards, 2 interceptions. 5 of 16 against Florida. 78 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. So he has barely thrown for 200 yards in the two games since the Alabama game. Something happened to him or Georgia or defenses, you know, something Pete Golding and Nick Saban figured out, the Kentucky and Florida copied. Something happened to him at halftime of that Alabama game. Stetson Bennett hasn't been the same quarterback.
Well, I just don't think he was an elite quarterback to begin with.
I agree with that.
The stories that Todd Monken said, you're never going to play for me.
I know, but he was at least playing pretty good quarterback before the Alabama game.
Let me say this, though. Even if JT Daniels does come out and, as you say, slay it, I don't know if they would have beaten Alabama or Florida anyway.
Probably not. I mean, if you assume, I mean, because they lost the Alabama game 41-24, I mean, JT Daniels would have had to have a good second half to keep up with Alabama. And then Florida was 44-28. He'd had to have a really good game to keep up with Trask.
Now, I will say this, though. Georgia's up 14-0 on Florida. If you get good quarterback play where you're moving the chains, maybe they do beat Florida.
Maybe. And look, the Alabama game was tied at the half, right? Or they were just in the lead. I mean, it was a tight game at the half. Alabama made that field goal to tighten that game a little bit. But as Paul says, I mean, he's saying the same thing I'm saying. If JT Daniels comes out and kills it, the question for Kirby is going to be, where has this guy been all year? Why did we struggle through offense in the second half of the Alabama game and get blown out by Florida?
I can tell you what the answer is going to be.
Oh, Kirby's going to say he wasn't ready.
Yeah. We just didn't believe. Look, this was a significant, you know, a severe injury that obviously he missed an entire season. and we just didn't think medically he was 100%. We didn't want to put him in harm's way. We felt this was the first time that we could actually get him out there, and we were comfortable
and
with this.
And that's when you go to JT Daniels and say, hey, listen, after this game, you're going to talk to the media. When they start asking you, you know, where, why didn't you play? We need you to say this, right? You know, coach is starting you now, so let's have coaches back. Well, and we don't need you going out there to air in our dirty laundry.
Man, I think even if this is not factual, I think JT Daniels, just with an ego, would probably say, you know what, I wasn't 100%.
Right, yeah.
I mean, he's not going to say that, look, I wasn't as good as Stetson Bennett or Dwan Mathis.
Of course he's not going to say that. He's as good as Stetson Bennett and Dwan Mathis.
I still am blown away. This is one of those major decisions that really could have changed the landscape of 2020. Jamie Newman opting out before the season, just based on this whole quarterback situation.
It was something we never saw coming, right? I mean, he had just transferred in there. A lot of people had him in the Heisman discussion.
Well, a lot of people said that he's the best quarterback in the SEC, and you look around right now. I mean, when you look at Kyle Trask and Mac Jones.
Even Kellen Mond. The way Kellen Mond has played, is there any guarantee he would have been better than Kellen Mond?
No.
He certainly, I don't think, would have been better than Trask and Jones in that offense with, the, like you say, the lack of weapons that are around him sometime.
Yeah, I mean, to me, even if Jamie Newman was playing right now and Georgia's undefeated, I still think he's the best, third best quarterback in the league. Behind Kyle Trask and Mac Jones.
Yeah, definitely that. But, I don't know. It's so hard to say without seeing him. We saw him play at Wake Forest, so I don't know what I can judge.
Now, I do wonder what the expectation is now for a Georgia offense that just hasn't been good.
It has not been, but I am far more interested in that game now. I got to be honest with you. Georgia-Mississippi State
did nothing for me before.
Didn't do a ton for me. Georgia's a 24.5 point favorite. I'm looking at it right now. 24.5. So it was going to be a blowout. Mississippi State is painfully difficult to watch because their offense just doesn't move. And Georgia's defense is one of the better defenses in the SEC. So that was going to be a tough game to watch. But, boy, I'm far more interested to see what JT Daniels looks like. And I guess if you're Kirby Smart, you want him to go out and go 28 of 30 for 390 and four touchdowns, right? Even if you got to answer the questions, that's what you want out of the guy.
You know, here's the unfortunate thing, and I said this, and, you know, Georgia fans might get upset. I think most would agree, though, with Georgia sitting at 4-2, and I know they're number 13th nationally right now. They really – I don't want to say they don't have anything to play for, Brown, but going into the season, it was championship or at least college football or bust for the Georgia Bulldogs. Now you're not even going to make the SEC championship game. So you look at this schedule, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, you know, you're going to win all these games. It doesn't matter who's starting at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, this is the easy part of their schedule.
So, I mean, even if JT Daniels goes out and puts up massive numbers, I guess maybe it's something you build for 2021?
Dunaway – before I tell you a change of the narrative that might happen with this story, the story we were talking about last segment, I'll allow you to give us your thoughts. Georgia is going to going to JT Daniels, and this is a big move.
I don't think you make that move until he is 100% healthy. I heard you guys discussing it. Technically speaking, I could hear you. You couldn't hear me. I was agreeing with you guys all the way through it. This is the first time that JT Daniels feels like he can play and is moving good enough to where they feel comfortable that he can quarterback the team. You can't risk what Kirby has risked this year with JT Daniels being able to play and him being your best quarterback and sitting on the bench. Kirby has lost a lot of slack in the rope this year when it comes to his reputation around college football, not just at Georgia, not just in the SEC West, but around the entire SEC, and I think around the entire country. This season has hurt Kirby Smart a little bit. I think it could have repercussions on the recruiting trail as well if it continues down that road. So I don't think this is a move that is being made just to see what you have in JT Daniels. I think this is a move that he's getting out there as quick as he can get him out there, that he would have done this a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago if he could have.
You know, Kirby's such a defensive guy, and going back 3 years ago, I mean, Kirby had what seemed to be the quarterback position dialed in more than anyone in college football. And now it's almost an utter disaster.
Well, but
at least this year.
And just as far as a narrative goes, and I'm not going to do the old Skip Bayless, Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith, I'll tell you why this has to work for Kirby Smart next. I'm not going to say that. But I will say, as far as a narrative goes, Dunaway, you just mentioned him losing slack in the rope. If JT Daniels comes out and doesn't perform well, because we've seen him already at Southern Cal, and how would you, Lance, you're an SC fan. You watched his every play. How would you describe him as a Southern Cal quarterback?
Well, I think as a true freshman, I gave him a C+.
A C+. So yeah, this is an average quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he was 18, but again, you know, he wasn't – he didn't have the weapons – take that back. He had a lot of weapons. It was a different offense, though. With Graham Harrell as your offensive coordinator last year, I truly believe JT Daniels would have had a really good season. As good as Slovis, I'm not sure. But, I mean, how
Because a lot of the people, a lot of Auburn fans have pointed out his numbers as a freshman looked a lot like Bo Nix's.
Well, I was
going to
bring
up, Bo Nix.
Bo Nix was your SEC freshman of the year last year, and it was very comparable to Bo Nix.
Okay, so you'll say that JT Daniels and Bo Nix were a lot alike in year one.
Based on performance, now I do think JT Daniels is the better quarterback.
Okay, maybe so.
Yeah, but I would have given him a C+, which is not a great grade, but again, we're talking about a true freshman quarterback.
So Dunaway, here's my point. If he doesn't work, and here you go, another Kirby Smart quarterback that doesn't work and you're having to hit the reset button yet again, that narrative is going to continue with him and even intensify, right? That Kirby cannot get quarterback right now.
Well, that's why it's so important to get him in the games this year and why you don't want to go the whole offseason wondering what you have with JT Daniels, and you go into next year and you don't have anything with him. You end up having the same situation you had this football season. That's why it is so important that right now he goes out there, he plays well, so you'll know what you've got in 2021 when you're playing for a championship again.
I don't think they've given up on DeJuan Mathis by any stretch of the imagination, but I cannot imagine his confidence is in a good spot. Could you?
I don't know if we'll see DeJuan Mathis again this year.
I would tend to agree with you, except maybe in some mop-up. I mean, I guess I don't know who your backup is now. If you do start JT Daniels, as Matt Zenitz has reported, I don't know if your backup is technically Stetson Bennett or DeJuan Mathis.
I would think it's Stetson Bennett.
I would guess, but you got to feel like DeJuan Mathis is more of a future, so why would you not use him in mop-up, right? I mean, I think we've seen Stetson Bennett's not going to be the future of quarterbacking
in
Georgia.
Yeah, I don't know if either one of those guys can be the future. I mean, a lot of this depends on how well JT plays. Now, remember this, though. If JT Daniels does go out and puts up massive numbers with not a lot of talent around him, and at least not a lot of explosive playmakers, JT Daniels is draft eligible this year. Now, that wouldn't make any – would at least right now, it wouldn't seem to make a lot of sense, guys, based on how many quarterbacks, good quarterbacks you're going to have in this draft, but who knows?
Dunaway, isn't Carson Beck the guy we want to see at some point, too, just to see what Georgia has in him?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think at some point in games, you need to find out – I'm trying to think of an NFL comparison, Lance and Brownie, of you want to roll out and see how many quarterbacks you've got, who you want to trade, who you want to allow to move on, and with your commitments coming in – whether or not your big five-star quarterback freshman that's going to come in, whether or not he's going to get a chance. You know, Von Vandegrift is coming in with five stars by his name. Is he the guy? Is JT Daniels just a placeholder? That's what you got to figure out.
Yeah, Vandegrift is the kid, if you don't know, he's a Georgia kid, state of Georgia kid, of course, because that state's packed with talent. But he's the latest big-time quarterback recruit they've gotten. He's one of the top dual-threat quarterbacks in the entire country. So, you know, this Brock Vandegrift kid could be the next, or he could be the next flameout. I don't know, but I know that narrative surrounds Kirby Smart, and I guess until we see JT Daniels and Carson Beck, we don't know if that's still the case. But at some point, they got to get it right, don't they? You get quarterback right. If you keep trying, don't you get it right at some point?
Well, they had quarterback right.
With Fromm?
Fromm was really, really good his first year. And then for whatever reason, and I think a lot of people blame just the offensive system.
Yeah, I don't know where we got into this conversation that Jake Fromm was not a good quarterback.
At the end of last year. He was not a good quarterback.
He was a great quarterback in 2017, and I agree with Lance. I think as it went along, he lost playmakers, and he lost an offense that became ultra-conservative, especially in second halves against Alabama. And a lot of the problems with Georgia's offense were not Jake Fromm's problems. They were Georgia's coaching problems.
Yeah, Jacob Eason was a C+, B- to me in year one when they went 8-5. Fromm in 2017 en route to play for a national championship. If he doesn't make a couple of mistakes, and I know those mistakes were on him, they win a national championship, and I thought he was a solid A that first year.
After the problem with Fromm, after the cocktail party, he did not have another SEC game where he threw over 50%. I mean, he ended the season really badly last year, and I think that's the taste that is left in the mouth of a lot of people. Now, he played okay in the Sugar Bowl against Baylor, and then went on to the NFL. But I think a lot of people just remember how bad Georgia's offense got at the end of last year, and Jake Fromm's numbers were terrible.
Dunaway, I don't know about you, but I think if Georgia's up 14-0 on Florida and Fromm's playing, I think they win the game. And Fromm would have come back this year with his experience.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. To me, Jake Fromm was the problem. It was the problem of you did not have receivers that could get separation. The balls he's throwing, yeah, Brown, okay, so it's not 50%. If I'm throwing to covered receivers all the time and with an offense that's not imaginative, I don't know whose completion rates are going to be high. If the guy's not open, he's not open. If I'm Tom Brady, I can't get it to Mike Evans if Mike Evans isn't open.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you, but it obviously affected his numbers. So we'll see JT Daniels, 6:30, SEC Network against Mississippi State Saturday night. Again, Georgia's more than a 3-touchdown favorite in this game. So it's a really good time to sneak him out there and see what you got. And maybe one day we'll see Carson Beck. I don't know. I mean, he's not burning a year of eligibility if you play him, no matter what. So, I mean, Lance gave you the rest of the schedule. Why not see what you got in the guy, right?
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate
thing.
They
play nobody down the stretch.
I know you weren't with us when I said that, but, you know, unfortunately, JT Daniels can come out and, you know, it might be exciting for Georgia fans, but the unfortunate thing is, what are you playing for now?
Well, you're playing for, you know, pride, the jersey, and then you're playing for next year. I mean, you want to send the seniors out, right? And I know, you know, we get so caught up in championships and playoffs, but there are wins to be had that makes your season feel better, look better, and you go into the offseason with momentum. If you limp in with no offense at all and no hope at quarterback, it becomes a very long offseason.
Well, and that's the only thing that can happen, because even if you limp in with bad quarterback play, you're not going to limp in with any losses. I mean, is there any way they lose to Mississippi State, South Carolina, or Vanderbilt?
No, you've got a non-existent offense, an interim coach who's losing players left and right, and Vanderbilt. I mean, I think the three of us, the four of us, Damian, too, Damian's probably the best one of us, could quarterback the Georgia Bulldogs to those wins. I mean, those are awful teams they're playing.
Probably Damian's the best of us all?
I said probably Damian, comma, Damian is the best of all of us.
Yeah.
There was a comma in there you could not hear. Not because of technical difficulties. I don't announce my commas. But no, there's no doubt Damian's the best football player.
I think we'd have to
run
the Wildcat with him, though.
With Damian?
Yeah,
you don't think he can throw?
I don't see him being consistently throwing the football. There's a reason he was playing slot.
Oh, wow.
That's not a shot. He's a great athlete.
He can at least catch, or he'd been a defensive back, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Wait, are you saying that he'd at least had to put some arc in his passes to get it over the offensive line? Is that what you were saying?
Well, I mean,
because I'm watching Kyler Murray look like a stud right now, and I think he and Damian are the same size.
I think Kyler's got a few inches on Damian. I don't know what the media guide lists Damian as.
Yeah, I think Kyler is a legitimate 5'10".
I mean, he measured 6 foot at the combine.
Coming in at quarterback, a legitimate 5'10".
No, he measured 6 foot at the combine, Dunaway.
With his helmet on and cleats.
Yeah, you haven't seen Damian in cleats yet. I think he's a little taller in cleats.
He's got football height?
Yeah.
Okay. When we return, we have not had a named Saturday yet, right? That's one thing we've missed in the pandemic. Pat 40.
You're talking like Separation Saturday?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Pat 40 has named this Saturday. So I'll see if I can sell you guys on it.
Postponement Saturday.
It is not postponement. Not yet.
I hope it's not sickly Saturday.
No, it is not that yet. We did lose another game, Texas-Kansas.
Oh. Another game. We're at 14 now.
Well, that is another game. Am I incorrect about that?
Well, it was 8 at one point. We're at 14 now. I mean, we lost.
They grew a game at the time, Jim.
We lost a boatload yesterday.
Well, what else did we lose?
I don't even know the order anymore. We've lost Utah State, Wyoming for tomorrow night. We've lost.
Right. I think that was already off.
Texas, Kansas.
I just mentioned that one. Yep.
Wake
Kansas
Forest,
and Texas.
Duke,
mentioned that
Charlotte
one yesterday.
Marshall.
Yep.
Central Arkansas, Louisiana, Houston, SMU.
Mentioned that one yesterday.
Colorado State, UNLV.
Well, I was getting to that one. There's a reason I wanted to get to that one. But I think we're caught up. I think Texas, Kansas is the most recent one. I think we had mentioned them all before that.
All right.
So Texas, Kansas was the one we lost yesterday. Our friend Pat 40 of Sports Illustrated calls it Separation Saturday. Lance, you accidentally nailed this. In the first hour, Separation Saturday.
Well, I think that gets used at least 1 week every college football
year. All right, so thank goodness we're at least normal here. We get a Separation Saturday. Let me sell you on this if you don't already buy it. The Big Ten, I mean, it's legit. You got the two top teams in both divisions are actually playing one another. There are four undefeated teams, in the Big Ten, and they happen to be playing one another.
Yeah, but
this
I don't
Saturday.
Think anybody believes these underdogs
they don't.
Can win.
Nobody believes Indiana and Northwestern can.
You nailed it, Lance. I mean, separation Saturday to me is when you've got legitimate toe-to-toe matchups where you don't know the outcome, where you don't. I mean, these would take major upsets to have any separation in the Big Ten.
Well, I mean, you'll get separation no matter why, because there will be somebody's going to have one loss, and this is an abbreviated schedule. I mean, but you're right. I mean, there's going to be separation either way. The surprise would be if Northwestern and Indiana get the separation.
Yeah, or one of them.
Yeah, either one. Otherwise, these two divisions basically are going to be over. Actually, the ones that are more believable, there's one in the Big 12, though the Big 12 is weird in that obviously you get rematches in the conference championship game. But I tell you, the loser of Bedlam has some issues getting back to the conference championship game, and I guess that's where the separation is. If Oklahoma loses it, I think mathematically they might be eliminated
from
it.
Yeah, I think they are.
That's three losses for Oklahoma with only two games left to play against West Virginia and Baylor.
Yeah, Lance, that's why that's the game that, you know, every week now I circle one I hope does not get canceled, because I could hang my hat Saturday on watching one college football game, and it's Oklahoma State, Oklahoma this weekend. That's the one I don't want canceled. That's the one to me that has a lot of juice in it, where I don't know who's going to win it, and it's got some major implications. So I know it's not a national championship elimination game, but that's a big game to me.
Yeah, it is, and it's prime time, and it's 14 versus 18, and I did see where since 2010 – this is the ninth time both teams have been ranked. The only teams who have met more that have been ranked since 2010, you guys want to guess? So ranked on ranked, this matchup since 2010, there's only one more matchup that where the two teams have been ranked going head-to-head more.
Alabama and Auburn.
Yeah, I would actually say the Iron Bowl.
It's Alabama-LSU.
Oh, that makes far more sense. Why did we go Iron Bowl that way?
Yeah.
Yes, why did we go Iron Bowl? So if you haven't looked at the Big 12 standings, Iowa State's still at the top at 5-1 in the Big 12. They actually, I don't know that they have the easiest path to the Big 12 championship game, but I mean, their path includes Kansas State this weekend, who's right there in the standings as well at 4-2. They have to have this game, Kansas State. That is coming up Saturday. So that's actually a very interesting game of the Big 12 too, Dunaway, other than Bedlam. And then Iowa State's at Texas, and they got West Virginia. That's a tough remaining schedule for Iowa State. So I don't know if they can finish this off and get to the Big 12 championship game or not. But basically, Iowa State is playing Kansas State. Oklahoma State's playing Oklahoma. And Kansas State and Oklahoma have to have these wins to stay alive. That's pretty much what you're looking at in the Big 12.
Well, this gets me to something I wanted to bring up with you guys. And we can carry this into the next segment if you want to. But I was wondering, who is this coaching cycle's Frank Beamer? And before that, I guess it was Bobby Bowden. And not to those great success win totals, but guys who have been on the job and had great success at a program and now seem to be hanging around too long. And I've got one in mind that's not involved in a game you were mentioning, Brown, but there's a little Mike Gundy to what we're talking about here. Mike Gundy's been there a long time, and if they don't get this win Saturday, he starts to slip into another, you know, mediocre type season, a lukewarm type season. But I've got another coach out there that's even more Frank Beamer-esque than Mike Gundy could be. And this isn't a shot on Frank Beamer. He had unbelievable years, but for everyone, near the end, you start to turn out some very average products. In music, for instance, I watched yesterday Letter to You from Bruce Springsteen. It had been a long time, and I'm probably a C-plus on the Bruce Springsteen scale of fandom. There's old fans, there are Springsteen fans who are more passionate about him than I am, but I enjoy his lyrics. There has been a number of albums recently where, you know, I think he's been turning out 8-4 albums, you know, 7-5, 8-4. The Letters to You is a pretty good album. I enjoyed watching that documentary yesterday, and I'm wondering how big of a game is this for Gundy to where he doesn't throw out another, you know, typical 8-4 cash a check season, and is there other coaches out there that are sort of in that near the end mold and turning out a bunch of mediocrity?
Near the end and turning out mediocrity because, I mean...
I got to think about this.
Harbaugh doesn't fall into that category. Chip Kelly is not even turning out mediocrity.
I've got your coach figured out, by the way.
Okay, so Dunaway is going to give us his Frank Beamer of today, a coach that has...
I'd put $1 million on this. I've got this
a
figured
million.
Out.
Okay. Number four on my list was Kirk Ferentz. He's had some success. Bubbles up every now and then.
Actually, off to a good start this year, though.
Gundy is third on my list. Number two on my list is David Shaw of Stanford. Okay. Number one, is your number one still alive?
Yeah, and I'm going to write it down, I'm going to show Brown on my monitor just where he will prove, and this is my $1 million. I'm putting $1 million on this thing.
Is that your final answer?
This is my final answer. I'm going $1 million.
Would you like to phone a friend?
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to phone a friend. Yeah, this is $1 million.
There's absolutely no doubt he's got this.
It's Gary Patterson.
You owe him $1 million.
Of TCU. Yes.
You owe him $1 million.
I'll take it in gold.
Bullion?
Yeah, bullion will work.
Yeah.
Gold bunions.
Bunions.
Unfortunately, I get pedicures and cannot provide any bunions for you.
I thought you had three corns right now on your right foot.
Well, you don't hear bunions and corn.
You really don't. They still exist, though. They did not go
on Sports Talk Radio. Yeah. Gary Patterson, though, seems very stale to me. And again, off to a very lukewarm season.
You know, that was such a good program just a couple of years ago. And, you know, you knew it would take maybe a minute to get acclimated to the Big 12 coming over from the Mountain West. But, man, he had that thing dialed in. And
Keep in mind, Lance, he was the guy who was coming with Dennis Franchione to Alabama to be his coordinator. If he did not get that job, he got that job, so he's been there 21 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and let's not forget, and I'll never forget the story, and I remember where I was. I was in the Midtown W lobby when the kick was missed, the Texas-Nebraska. And if Nebraska wins that game, TCU goes on and plays Alabama in the 2009 national championship game. Gary Patterson didn't even watch the end of that game.
Yep.
Said he went for a walk around his neighborhood. And I don't know how different the outcome would have been. You know, you've got Texas fans that still swear by if Colt McCoy plays, different outcome. Yeah. But I'm just saying, based on final score, I think TCU could have hung within that number with Alabama.
Well, I will. Like one of those.
I mean, I'm saying they would have played them as competitively as Texas ended up playing.
Right. We'll never know. But boy, it was close to happening. All right. 7:35. Jocks Roundtable. Every day we do four downs, and on Thursdays, Rockstar takes it over and gives us some bizarre off the wall questions. Today is no different. But it's always presented by our friends at Vulcan Tire and Automotive.
Yeah, four great locations: Gardendale, Hoover, Moody. Trust will take your vehicle to Vulcan Tire and Automotive. They take care of your vehicle, so your vehicle takes care of you. Vulcan Tire and Automotive, making tires great again.
First down.
What probably annoyed the average person in the 1700s?
Taxation without representation.
They seem to get upset about that.
That is annoying. We need to do something about that.
Well, let's go throw a bunch of tea in the bay. Why don't we?
I think when the horse carriage was late, you guys get annoyed when Uber's...
This is ridiculous.
Well, you keep looking at your phone and it's like 11 minutes, and then the next thing it's 13 minutes away.
I'm coming,
and then it's
7
minutes.
11.
Yeah. Lighting the street lamps and then putting them out every night.
Oh, that had to be a pain.
Well,
and last call at the tavern. Was there a last call back in the day?
I was just thinking about like writing a letter to your loved one. Like, I wrote it 6 months ago. Did you get it? No, it's not here yet.
How are you communicating if the letter's not?
All grooming items that we take for granted now.
That's true.
But they didn't exist, so they can't annoy you if they don't exist.
I mean, what did you shave with back in the day?
Nothing. Oh, that
straight blade. Yeah. They had those straight blades, you know. You see that in Tombstone, right? When they laid up in the chair and they got the straight blade. Also, clothing. Like, you wore a lot of clothes back then, and it wasn't any cooler in the summer then than it is now.
Well, I can't remember. Like watched on Young Guns and everything at the 1800s, but... when they're in their long johns to go to bed, and they have that sag ass.
Like, you know, I know they do.
That's what Paul Revere wore.
Yeah,
okay, we're not talking about Paul Revere today.
Yeah, you've seen like the photos in the middle of the summer, and they're in the vest and the suit and the tie and the top hat and the pants. I mean, it's you were roasting back then.
Yeah, I guess you just got used to it. I think they were more shirtless back in the day. I've seen the Mountain Dew commercial with Abe Lincoln's got his suspenders on and he's shirtless.
Yeah. He's a wife beater man. He loved it.
I truly, hats off to everyone before our generations or the birth of America, the 200 years since 1776, almost 250 now, whatever it is. Before that, to keep the human race going through all the things you had to fight through, including personal grooming, to keep that that drive to want to reproduce going, I cannot imagine.
Or getting a buckshot in your meat.
Dunaway, they didn't have cable. Wow. I mean, there was only so many things you could do when the sun went down.
Buckshot to the meat will put you down,
yes,
man.
It will.
Buckshot
to
your butchered meat.
Yes, the meat
shirt. Okay. Down.
You are one out of 2 million people asked. You get to have whatever item you want as long as no one else chooses it. What do you choose?
I mean, can I go Patsy Kensett 1989 fresh off the set of Lethal Weapon 2?
I think you'd be pretty good that nobody else would ask
I
that.
I think out of 2 million people, nobody's going to pick that one.
I stay.
No, but I don't want to itemize Patsy Kensett. I don't even know where she is now.
Checking to see if dead or alive.
You know, she's married to Liam Gallagher, I think, from Oasis.
She was. I think it was, what would we call that, a contentious relationship?
Really? With Liam?
Yeah. I'll go with one of my favorite hotels, the St. Regis in Atlanta. Do you think anybody would ask for that?
Like you want to own it?
Like I want to own it, man. I mean, it's a moneymaker. It's got a great bar. The food's fantastic. It's got an incredible pool scene. During the holidays, it's got a skating rink that serves hot chocolate. It's an awesome, awesome place. And it smells like gingerbread this time of year.
Smells like gingerbread.
Yeah, I want the St. Regis. Do you think anybody out of 2 million would ask for the St. Regis in Atlanta?
No, it's just so weird that if you ask for it, somebody else has got to think of it.
By the way, she had a son with Gallagher, and they named it after John Lennon. His name is Lennon.
Okay.
But they divorced in 2000.
She was a
married 3 years.
Beautiful woman back in the day. I haven't seen her lately, but
nor have I.
Boy.
Yeah, 52 years old. All right, so I might have not participated in the spirit of your game here, Rockstar. But it did occur to me that if I select a random large dollar amount, there's no way one of the other 2 million people is going to...
$10 million, $10,563,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody else is going to select that specific dollar amount. So I could really go as high as I wanted and get whatever dollar amount I need there, Jimmy D.
For me, would anybody ask for the New York Knicks? You think anybody would ask for them?
No.
Spike Lee.
No.
Nobody told me.
So you would ask for the Knicks?
I would want the Knicks. I don't think anybody would. I think people would ask for other teams. They'd forget to ask for the New York Knicks.
I don't know. I mean, what if one of your 2 million is Spike Lee?
I'm not sure. They got no fight, right? He's not a fan anymore.
No, that might be why he wants him.
That's right. He wants him to rub it in Dolan's face. But you're right. I mean, the chances of Spike Lee being one of the 2 million is pretty low.
I mean, I would want the Rams. I'd rather have the Rams than the St. Regis.
I would agree. I think you're going to make more money.
Somebody would ask for the Rams.
Yeah, and you don't get it.
Third down.
What is the first thing you think of when you hear Beverly Hills?
Unfortunately, it was the awful Weezer song.
Interesting. I think Beverly Hills Cop, or I think The Trees on Rodeo.
That's what I always say, Beverly Hills Cop.
You know, the interesting thing about Beverly Hills, and I don't know, I think all you guys have been.
Nope.
And
never been.
I actually stayed there a couple of years ago, got a one of the, what are they called?
Hostels.
What are they called now?
Bathhouses.
Banana Clips.
You rent them. Not the bed and breakfast. What are they called now?
Rickshaw. That always said rickshaw.
Did an Airbnb right there in Beverly Hills. It was awesome. What a lot of people don't realize is Beverly Hills is small. I mean, it's just a little bigger than Homewood, where our studios are.
Right.
There's only 40 blocks in Beverly Hills. So it's just, 35,000 people in that huge metropolis that's Los Angeles. It's just its own little, I don't know, it's just really small.
Okay.
Yeah. I love it. I've had the opportunity to stay at the Beverly Hilton a couple of times. Humble brags. I didn't pay for it. It was work. Rodeo Drive. I like it there. But unfortunately, I know two zip codes. I know mine, and I know 90210.
Right.
Beverly Hills 90210, the TV show, is what I always think.
You can afford to live in one, and you can't in the other.
Who
was
your girl in 90210, Dunaway?
Oh, Luke Perry. Go ahead.
There were different times, LT. You know, what's her name? Amber Thiessen, is that her name?
Yeah, Tiffany Amber Thiessen. She was the bad girl when she came in middle of the series, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, when she came in, she was it for me. And was she 90210 or was she Melrose Place?
No, she was 90210.
That's what I thought, yeah.
You know, she was one of those that always looked good with the baby fat.
Yeah, she did kind of have the chubby cheeks. But
my
it was
favorite
her
early on was the Jenny Garth character, which I think was Kelly.
I've never seen
I liked
an
her.
Not too long.
I liked it when she got a little, became a little bit more of a bad girl as she went along. Was the red-haired girl, was that Melrose Place?
Are you sure you saw 90210?
Yeah. No, I get the two confused. Yeah, and the characters sometimes
blended. That was Sydney. Sadly, I know the name. That was Sydney was her name.
Yeah, I liked her on Melrose Place because she was the bad girl. But I liked Kimberly Amber Thiessen.
Yeah, I liked her. Tiffany. I liked her older sister better, though, Josie Bassett. Remember the really short blonde-haired girl?
Well, see, I think it was best when Kramer and Frazier were on the set. They went to the Cheers.
Fourth down.
Right, so I don't pronounce the H. I don't pronounce the H. It's Thiessen to me.
You called her Kimberly Amber Thiessen.
She was my favorite by far. Was she even on the show?
That's exactly what she was to me, bro.
Question number
she
four.
She was a Thiessen.
Wow. What is an actual movie title that sounds dirty but actually isn't?
Fun with Dick and Jane.
Made that mistake.
Yeah. Which is actually a funny movie. I liked it. It was Jim Carrey and
Tia Leone.
Yeah, Tia Leone. It's a funny movie.
How about Octopussy?
Yeah,
right. Free Willy.
Yep, Free Willy. Yeah, that away.
Is that
Chitty Chitty, Chitty Bang Bang? The Incredible Mr. Limpet.
I'll tell you another great movie, Easy Rider.
Home Alone.
It's one of the best films ever.
You say Home Alone?
Home Alone. And that's four downs.
All those are good. I don't have anything better than any of those.
Four downs, Lance.
Vulcan Tire and Automotive. Locally owned and operated business by Birmingham guys. Four great locations. Gardner, Hoover, Moody, Trustful. For more information, VulcanTireandAuto.com. Vulcan Tire and Automotive, making tires great again.
Rockstar, it is time for our spotlight where we will do a little different than normal stock report. Hit it.
The Wickles Pickles Spotlight. Stock up, stock down. College football's stock report.
And Wickles are wickedly delicious pickles made using that 90-year-old family recipe. It's a family company packed proudly right here in Alabama. Perfect addition to your home tailgate from the Wickles original slices, the Wicked Relish, Wicked Okra. They've also got the Dirty Deal. It's a classic yet bold flavor line out there. I think, Brown, you had somebody in your family looking for some of the spears.
Trying to find them. We've apparently sold them out, according to one of my family members called Wickles themselves. And the lady said, no joke, the lady told her, you know, we started advertising on a Birmingham radio station, and we have been sold out of those since. We've got a back order. So, I promise you that's what she told
me. So please get out, support your local grocery stores, buy as much Wickles Pickles as possible. For more information, WicklesPickles.com, or look for that great product at your local supermarket.
I mean, make them build a new plant.
I agree.
Let's buy so many of them, they have to build a Birmingham plant.
Yeah, and we'll have a cucumber shortage. How do we have a cucumber shortage? Well, Jocks. They started advertising Wickles Pickles.
That would be awesome. And I know we're going to do this a little differently today, Brown.
Yes,
on the
we
stock
are.
Up and starting out. So why don't you start it out? To kind of give us
okay, so here's what we're doing. So, and this was Dunaway's idea. The team that might be a little higher in the college football ranking when it comes out, the college football playoff ranking, than people would think, and the team that might be a little bit lower.
Well, LT, I think lower is going to be easy. I think the group of five usually gets a dose of reality when the first college football playoff rankings come out. I think the AP poll usually has the Cincinnati's, the BYU's, the Marshall's, and the Coastal's up a tad more than they will be in the college football playoff rankings. So I think initially those four teams will be down a little from where they are in the AP poll.
Yeah. I agree. It's going to be a group of five done away, and this is one of those borderline group of fives. I think it'll be BYU. I think they'll be lower than people would think because I don't think the committee will respect that schedule.
Well, and you can't get any value this week out of North Alabama. Yeah. I do disagree with this. If Cincinnati was to go on the road to Orlando and to spank by double digits UCF, and again, they haven't given up more than 17 points, and you're able to hold Dillon Gabriel in what is still one of the better offenses in college football, you know, somewhere in the mid-20s, and they win that game by double digits. I think Cincinnati will get the benefit of the doubt, and I think they're going to be higher than you guys think.
Oh, so you would go Cincinnati higher. So, Dunaway, I go BYU lower. Are you going group of five for a lower?
My lowest, I mean, the biggest drop, I don't know who's going to be the biggest drop. The more controversial one for me is going to be that Florida, I think, will be ranked one spot ahead of Texas A&M. I think Unlike the AP poll, who goes Texas A&M, Florida 5-6, I think that will flip with the College Football Playoff Committee. I think they'll have Florida ahead of Texas A&M, opening up that great debate of the head-to-head outcome.
I think some other controversy here, Brown, could also be Wisconsin and or Oregon.
See, I think Wisconsin will be higher.
I think both of those could be higher than Texas A&M.
Oh,
I don't have them higher than Texas A&M. I've got them higher than all the group of fives. I think the rankings will look like Alabama, you choose Ohio State or Notre Dame, then put the other one next, Clemson 4, Florida, Texas A&M, Wisconsin, Oregon, then your group of five teams.
Yeah, I think you've got Wisconsin in the right spot. I don't know what they'll do with Florida and Texas A&M. I do think this committee values head-to-head, and they do know that Florida will play potentially Alabama in the SEC championship, so they'll always be given a chance to bump Florida up, that will take care of itself. So I think A&M will actually be in front of Florida based on that head-to-head, assuming A&M, well, I don't guess they can lose a game between now and then because they don't play one. The Wisconsin thing, though, Jim, I wonder if you think the same thing I do. I just think, as weird as it sounds, I think this committee respects Barry Alvarez, but more than anything, this is an older committee. I think they respect that style of play still, that Wisconsin plays a style of football that these guys used to coach or play.
And both games they played, separated by 20-something days, they've been turnover-free, penalty-free for the most part. They've been very clean. They've looked the part. And like you said, Brown, they like to set up scenarios on the committee to where if A happens and B happens, then we have a result of C. So they know Ohio State and Wisconsin will eventually meet and could play their way into this. Same way with Alabama and Florida. Same way with Clemson and Notre Dame. It becomes a very little neat package for the College Football Playoff Committee.
Well, and remember, Wisconsin's got an undefeated top 20 team they're playing this weekend too, so they're gonna build a little bit more off of that. What would be interesting is if Wisconsin and Oregon are not way behind Texas A&M, but remember, there's a good chance Texas A&M doesn't lose again. So even undefeated Wisconsin, undefeated Oregon, how do they eventually catch Texas A&M if Texas A&M continues to win?
Well, because they have that one loss. If you're unbeaten, you will jump over a one-loss team eventually. You start getting data points that could jump you. You could be a conference champion. That'd be another reason to put you in, those type things.
Yeah, but, you know, if the Pac-12 is just complete garbage this year, even if Oregon's undefeated and Texas A&M, their one loss is to Alabama, who ultimately could be far and away the best team in college football. I just don't know how you view that.
Yeah, I think Dunaway, that's one reason they hammer data points so hard, because one of their data points is conference champion. And it always gives them the excuse to jump a team and say, well, you know, for instance, Texas A&M, who will not be a conference champion, it always gives them that excuse. Well, we jumped them because they won their conference championship.
Yeah, sometimes it's not about what we can use to jump you over, it's what we can use to bump somebody down.
Yeah,
and that's what they would use in that situation. It can they leave the door open where they can go eye test, and the four best teams put Alabama in when they're not conference champions, or they can use, hey, you're not conference champions, and knock you out if you're Texas A&M.
All right, when we return, is this the worst possible time to get a contract extension? And one SEC athletics director got it, and it might be a little misleading, but a lot of people got upset about it. Lance, Hero Donuts doing something special for everyone in our community.
Well, something special. First, I want to talk about the menu, because I know you guys love not only the sandwiches but the donuts. Look, 9:45 here. I'm already starving, ready for lunch. I mean, we've got a kind of a weird schedule. But you can get in there right now and get one of those super crunch chicken sandwiches. The best chicken sandwich I've ever had. I love the fried bologna. They've got that Bama bologna and delicious cheeseburgers as well. Of course, the donuts, they speak for themselves. So get into one of those two locations, Homewood or Railroad Park. Try out the great product. But the Jocks Roundtable and Hero Donuts and Buns, they acknowledge that heroes take on many roles and are found in unexpected and expected places. We want to know about the heroes in your life, from military, first responders, a great teacher in your life, a neighbor, an uncle, a brother. All you got to do is follow at Hero Donuts on Instagram. Tag a hero, send us a DM, tell us a bit about them, and we will select one hero to receive a $50 gift card and a dozen donuts each day for the next 25 days starting on Monday. Just go hashtag Heroes of Beham. That's hashtag Heroes of Beham. But follow them right now at Hero Donuts on Instagram.